You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We've got a lot of questions for Ron McGill, as we do every week. Always enjoy his time. If you want to support the things that Ron McGill is passionate about, his money, the money that he channels through his substantive endowment, goes directly to the animals and to animal care. So please support Ron McGill for doing this with us every week. It's a very popular segment, and we value his time over the years. Thank you, Ron, for joining us. The cat dominated college football, a cat from the upper deck. So I've got a number of different questions. First of all, what is a cat doing up there? What are your theories? How can you tell us why it is that a cat was in the upper deck of a football stadium?
Well, I'm sure there's more than one cat in that stadium. I mean, cats are incredible in getting into and out of different situations. I'm sure there are cats roaming throughout that stadium, feeding on whatever mice, whatever things there are there, because those things exist in a place like South Florida. So getting the cat there is not a huge surprise to me. Ending up the way it was hanging in the upper deck with a stadium full of people, that was a bit of a surprise.
And so when it ends up there, Ron, what can you tell us about the animal's ability in that situation to get up? How many cats fall to their death in that situation? What would have happened to the cat if someone hadn't had a flag downstairs? Right. Might that cat have survived anyway?
Yes, I would say it's probable the cat would have survived. It may have sustained a more serious injury, but cats, you know, I have seen cats fall out of 8-9-story buildings and not only survive, but walk away. So they have an innate ability. First of all, you know, you've probably all heard about cats being able to land on their feet. You can please do not do this. Okay, I'm just telling you, please, I need to emphasize, do not do this. But if you were to take a cat, hold it upside down, literally 3 feet above the ground, and let it go, it's going to turn and land on his feet. That's how incredible the reflexes are of a cat. And you'll notice when that cat fell, one of the things, if you look at the video real closely, it actually opened its legs, spread itself out, almost trying to parachute its body. This was an instinct as it fell, kind of breaking the fall a little bit with the wind. But understand that the flag, of course, did help break the fall. But I do believe that the cat would have survived had the flag not been there. This is not to take away from the incredible heroics of these people who saved this cat.
Yeah, it seems like you are taking away from their heroics. They're the only ones who did anything, Ron.
What'd you do, Ron?
Dan, you got anything to say to me? Because I don't hear anything else.
Cody has a question.
Hey, Ron, I read that animal abusers will soon face much harsher punishment in South Korea because the country plans to amend its civil code to grant animals legal status. Should the United States do the same?
When you say legal status, you mean they're going to give them the same status as a human being?
I don't know about the same status, but it's going to be an elevated status that greatly increases the punishment for abuse.
Well, I think that's great. I think that elevating their status might make it equal to the status that already occurs here in the United States. Understand in Korea that animals often are abused in a way that would just turn your stomach. And this has been something that's been culturally accepted for many, many years. And now I think, especially with the young generation, they're not tolerating this any longer. So, you know, you're not going to be able to go out and, you know, round up dogs to cook in a barbecue anymore. These are things that have been done in a lot of the Asian cultures for many, many years. So when Korea says they're elevating their penalties for animal abuse. It might be just trying to bring up to the level of what we already experienced here in the U.S. I think we have pretty good animal abuse laws here.
Ron, you said you've seen a cat fall 8 and 9 stories. Why? How? What were the circumstances?
It was actually in a fire in New York. I was in New York City, and it was probably on an 8th floor. There was a fire in the building. There was a cat on the cat literally jumped off of this banister off of the apartment building and landed on the floor, and I watched it walk away, literally run away. Now, that's not to say it might not have sustained some injuries that it felt later on because the adrenaline was running so much, but that cat fell 9 stories and ran away.
How much can you say from your perspective you've seen, it, never mind a stadium, just anywhere, things like that, wild or weird animal behavior that results in video like that?
Oh, geez. I mean, you know, we've seen animals have fights and you think sustain horrible injuries. I've seen a crocodile get a hold of a possum and grab the possum, bring it underwater, and then, you know, come up above the water again, open its mouth, and then the possum runs away. How does that happen? This crocodile has a possum in its mouth. You think it crushed it. It didn't, and the possum got away. You know, you see injuries. We've seen that happen with lions. There's that infamous video of lions taking down a buffalo, and then all the Cape buffalo come and chase the lions away. And you think this buffalo calf is dead already because it's in a lion's mouth, and then the calf just gets up and runs away. So how does this stuff happen? So yeah, animals are able to survive things that you would think would be, fatal to most any living thing.
Ron, a friend of mine owns a couple of bulldogs, and on occasion he would feed them oats, slice up some sweet potatoes, and put them some berries. What's a perfect diet for a dog?
You know, I am not a nutritionist to say what a perfect diet for a dog is, but I will tell you that they are carnivores, but they're also somewhat omnivores. I mean, I had a miniature schnauzer that just freaking loved lettuce. He loved lettuce. He ate lettuce all the time. Didn't do him any harm at all. Great, solid poops. Everything was great about that dog. He loved lettuce. He liked carrots sometimes too. So dogs, I've heard some of these diets now, these very elite diets that they have for dogs where they mix in several types of starches and vegetables within the meat protein. So I think it's the ideal is probably somewhat of a mix with a heavy concentration on the meat part.
Ron, my dog is turning 1, and I said that I was going to throw her a birthday party, and everyone here laughed at me and said that my dog wouldn't even be aware of the fact that it was her birthday if I threw her a party and put a little birthday hat on her and fed her a special treat. Do you think that dogs would understand and recognize that it's their special day if you were to give them a nice little birthday cake and take a nice photo of them with a birthday hat on?
I will say this, Jessica, they will understand that it is a special day. I don't think that they would understand it's their special day. They would say, this is fun. This is great. This is special. I'm having a great time doing this, assuming that your dog likes having a little birthday hat put on them. I'm not saying that all dogs do like that. But if your dog does and enjoys the attention, then that your dog would, understand it is a special day. But I think it might be pushing the envelope to think that this is my special day, that they're celebrating me. He just feels lucky to be part of the celebration period.
But what if no one else is wearing a special hat or getting a special treat?
True.
I knew you were going to come in there sometime soon, Billy. I don't think it knows that because most animals do not understand that reflect, you know, in other words, dogs don't see the reflection in the mirror and understand it as a reflection of themselves. They're not going to understand I'm wearing a hat. Nobody else is wearing a hat because the dog doesn't see itself wearing a hat. Do you understand what I'm saying? So therefore, it doesn't really understand that. But the dog understands is there are treats here. People are happy. It's like everybody's tail is wagging, though. I understand, Billy, not everybody has a tail. I got it. But you know what I'm trying to say here. OK, so the dog is enjoying the celebration, not understanding that people look like him or don't look like him or wearing a hat or not wearing a hat.
Ron, what is your stance on dressing dogs in clothing and hats?
Terrible.
You know, I'm going to say, generally speaking, I'm not a fan unless, of course, it's cold outside and you're putting on a sweater and this and that. Having said that, there are some dogs that seem to not just only tolerate it, but seem to like the attention. And that's fine. My only thing against that would be if you're trying to force yourself to force the dog to wear a hat because you want to take a cute picture, and the dog obviously is not enjoying the experience, and you're forcing it because you want to have a cute picture to put online because you want more likes at the expense of your dog.
Exactly, Ron. I put my Steelers jersey. I got a Steelers jersey for my dog, and I put it on her this weekend, and she loved it.
Yeah, loved it.
She felt very special. She knew, you know, today's not my special day yet, but I'm a special dog wearing a special jersey. And then they won, and I gave her extra pets.
There you go. And if she enjoys it, that's all that counts, Jessica. My only thing is I don't want people to force animals to do things for their enjoyment and not the animal's enjoyment.
Agreed.
Ron, I saw photos of an operation or procedure being done on an eel at Zoo Miami last week, and I was surprised because an eel obviously lives in the water. Are there operations or procedures that you guys need to do underwater on animals?
No, we don't do them underwater, but what we do is if you looked at that procedure with the eel, well, first of all, let me tell you, an electric eel isn't really an eel at all. It's actually a type of fish, but it's a unique type of fish. It's a knife fish that has the ability to also breathe air. But having said that, you will notice in those photographs, there are some red tubes going into its mouth, and those red tubes going into its mouth, going through the gills. And what we do is we pump oxygenated water that also has an anesthetic in it through those gills. So literally it's like the eel is underwater because it's constantly being oxygenated through the gills with that water pumping through. So it's getting oxygen, it's having water pumping through, but we have it out of the water. It also has the anesthetic because of course an electric eel can jump out, you know, pop out an 800 volt shock when it's distressed. So we want to make sure it's totally anesthetized before we're doing surgery on it.
What is the most unusual animal or the most awesome experience you've had with a medical procedure and an animal?
I think for me, I'll never forget my first C-section. For me, it was an animal called a Gerenuk, which is a type of antelope. The mother was in distress. We had to mobilize her. We thought for sure the baby was dead, was breached inside of her. We're in the surgery suite and, you know, make the incision. And then she pulls out the baby and it looks like it is dead. It's not moving. And I'll never forget the veterinarian actually putting her mouth to the baby's mouth and blowing a breath into the mouth. And then the baby literally coughed and came to life. So that was a pretty amazing thing where you had grown men like myself tearing up watching this procedure of this new life coming out of this, you know, stressed mother and a C-section, and he comes out looking dead. All of a sudden the vet literally with her mouth breathed into it and the baby just and came to life and start the ears flopping and the kid. It was a beautiful moment.
Ron, while we're on the topic of eels, sort of, I read that scientists don't know how eels mate in the wild. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, I don't know really either. As a matter of fact, it's hard to actually tell what a male or the difference between a male or female. And in the electric, we couldn't tell for sure whether this electric eel that we operated on was a male or a female. The thing about electric eels that's really fascinating is that 80% of their body is dedicated to the organs that produce electricity. The other 20% of all the organs, the heart, the lungs, everything else is squeezed into a little tiny portion right by their head. And they don't have any real evidence sexual organs. You have to be able to do incredible, you know, diagnostics with a CT scan to find out the difference. So it's very hard to tell. You know, they don't have a very distinct sexual external organ at all. They only have one little tiny opening. So everything comes in and goes out of that opening. So it is very difficult to tell. And I would suspect I don't know much about how eels breed in the wild either.
Ron, I saw that there were 13 gorillas at the Atlanta Zoo that tested positive for COVID. What would Zoo Miami do if there were animals in the zoo that tested positive?
Well, we'd isolate them. We'd put them in quarantine. You know, the good news about COVID and zoo animals, at least up to this date, is that all of the zoo animals, at least in this country, have made full recoveries with really only mild symptoms, you know, a runny nose, a fever, a dry cough. All of the animals have made full recoveries. Now, there is a vaccination regime going on throughout the country where a company made a specific vaccine just for animals. It's not the same vaccine they use for people. And that's being tested on a variety of collections around the country. But generally speaking, you need to isolate the animal, quarantine it, make sure that everybody working around that animal is using PPE. And then, you know, like I said, every animal that's contracted COVID within this country, whether it be tigers or lions or gorillas, have made full recoveries with very mild symptoms.
Explain the eel shock to us, Ron. It can take out how big an animal?
Well, 800 volts, Dan, it'd take out a human being in a heartbeat. You know, they use that electricity to basically stun their prey and also as a defense mechanism. So what we did was we actually, even when it was under anesthesia, we had a guy come in with a voltmeter and put the voltmeter on each side of the Elon. We could see when it was starting to elevate the electricity. So we had to give it more anesthesia to make sure it wasn't popping to the top because, it would knock you on your feet.
Ron, we've thrown out this hypothetical about the woolly mammoth in shows past, but now it's becoming increasingly real. A company by the name of Colossal has secured $15 million in private funding. Is that enough to do what they're intending, which is bring back the woolly mammoth? And if I make the decision purely yours, do you allow this to happen?
Gosh, you know, I guess scientifically, I would say I wouldn't want that to happen. I wouldn't want to mess with Mother Nature. That animal became extinct. It had no reason that, you know, due to human, it had nothing to do with humans that the woolly mammoth became extinct. There was a good reason for that. And there's an old saying that says, don't mess with Mother Nature. Having said that, God, personally, I'd want to see it. I'd want to see that so badly. I think it would be the coolest thing ever. I don't know if $15 million is enough. I can't comprehend that kind of money. I don't know what it costs to do this kind of stuff. I can tell you, I know that the technology is there. I mean, it's like the beginning of the $6 million man. We have the knowledge. We can do it. It's just a matter of getting the funding. I think they'll get the funding. I think there are enough really wealthy people in this world who want to see the same thing that are going to provide the funding. So I wouldn't be surprised if in our lifetime, at least hybridized woolly mammoth comes to life.
You'd want that at Zoo Miami, Ron. One woolly mammoth on Earth. You'd want that at the zoo.
No, guys, I wouldn't want a woolly mammoth at the zoo strictly just to exploit the woolly mammoth for, I think that's one of the things that zoos get criticized for. And I think rightly so. You shouldn't be using an animal to exploit something just to have people come to your gate. You should have a good reason for every animal you have within your park. And it should be to educate and to conserve. So I wouldn't have a woolly mammoth here just as a freak show. There was enough of that happened, 50, 60 years ago in zoos where they had animals. You know, that was the whole thing with the white tiger. The white tiger was basically, there was no conservation message behind that at all. It was just drawing the gate. People coming in to see the white tiger, the elusive ghost tiger. Oh, come on. Turn those turnstiles, baby. Ka-ching. And zoos were rightfully criticized for that. But you don't see white tigers in accredited zoos anymore.
But imagine your endowment if you had it, you know?
No, I'm not going to prostitute my endowment for something that would probably be ethically wrong.
Ron, we were talking about the Orange Bowl bathrooms yesterday. You remember those things?
Oh, they were great. I remember. The great thing I remember about the Orange Bowl bathrooms is watching women come in and use the men's room.
Right.
That's what I remember. That was just fantastic. They would be so inebriated. They'd literally come in and wouldn't hesitate to squat over the little the trough. It was fantastic.
Well, I'm wondering which animal would stroll into one of those bathrooms with the most confidence, okay, and pee at the trough.
Jesus, how do you come up with this stuff, Stu?
We were talking troughs. I mean,
I really couldn't tell you. If you got to go, you got to go. I mean, an animal, exactly. But an animal's not going to come in and do it at the trough. An animal will just do it right there.
Some animals are shy about peeing at the trough.
We learned yesterday that Billy's a very confident peer. He's a swaggering peer, just walks right in and looks at people, even if it's a circular trough, and goes in there and just pees vigorously. So would it be a horse? Would it be a giraffe? Would it be a cat?
Listen, when a horse has got to go, it's freaking amazing. Mm. That thing, you've heard the term pees like a racehorse.
Yeah.
A horse will race, and at the end of the race, he just kind of spreads his legs, and that thing comes out like a freaking Niagara Falls, splash. And it seems to go on for about an hour. Okay, it's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. And if you watch an elephant, too, an elephant, especially a female elephant, because a female elephant, I don't want to get too graphic here, but there's a lot of skin and floppy skin, so it comes out like it's splashing out of a fire hose type splash. Stuff. And it just, it's not a stream. It's literally like a bucket just goes. I mean, it's just, it's horrific, but it's fascinating at the same time.
What's the graphic version sound like?
Well, I can't really do it. I just take a bucket of water and splash it up against the wall, but it comes out all at once. It's just like, I don't know how to do it. It's just, it's phenomenal though, because like I say, you know, the external organs, genital organs of a female elephant are not like most other animals. There's a big flap of dangling skin that hangs over it and stuff. So the urine hits a bunch of skin walls before it makes an exit. And it's like this huge, it's like a very, very decorative waterfall. It's fantastic.
Splash.
Billy, you're holding your head in your hands, but nobody was encouraging more Stugatz to go, no, give us extra graphic, and then immediately gives you folding flaps
I
of
would
skin.
Never.
You're
Listen,
horrified.
Guys, I don't know where the lines are on this show. No, but okay? I just answer the questions.
Billy just wants you to cross them all, and then you do. And he's
Listen,
like,
Dan, I look at you. You're the judge here, okay? If you say objection, I figure, okay, we've crossed the line. But if you're allowing them to ask these questions, you're the guy. I'm going to answer the questions.
Sign.
Unless you
Dan.
Say, no need to respond, yep. Ron.
I'd imagine all that flopping skin would make it susceptible to UTIs. Have you ever treated an elephant UTI before? And if so, what does that look like?
Oh, for the love of God.
I want to hear.
Thank you, Dan. I'm so glad you're back. Thank you.
See you later, Ron. We'll talk to you next week. Again, contribute.
I live for it.
Contribute to his substantive endowment. The money helps the animals very directly. No bureaucracy. It's just Ron McGill handling things and taking care of the animal species he cares about so much. So thank you, Ron.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Why do you carry around $2,000 unless you're paying off a referee or something?
Whoa! What happened?
What happened?
What happened there?
I didn't imply that. Doc Rivers is like a saint. One of the great coaches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Stugatz.
Put on the poll, Guillermo. First of all, is Greg Cody as a journalist spectacularly reckless? Put that on a poll first. And then secondarily, put on the poll as well, is Doc Rivers paying referees?
I never said he was.
This is the Dan Lebatar Show with the Stugatz.
After many, many hours wrestling the alligator, Billy's useless sound montage is ready and back. I apologize profusely. It feels a bit like an HR violation, Billy, to have put you through all of these press conferences, but we'll get to that in a second. A couple of things on the front end that I wanted to get to. It is just simply not mistakable. Stephen A. Smith is so much happier. You could see it on the screen that he's gotten a fountain of youth. No more I have to share this thing with anybody else. No more Bayless. No more Max Kellerman. Everybody get out of my way. I will bring in this assortment of rotating hosts, and it's more about me, me, me. And here I am, my show, Stephen A. Smith and First Take. It is obviously. He's buoyant. He's rejuvenated. He's got a fountain of youth. Mike Ryan found himself appreciating a smaller Stugatz, a smaller Greg, feeling of normalcy with the pandemic because he got to do some old-timey heckling banter with fans in Kansas City. It has been many months since we've had any kind of normalcy. Now our stadiums are full. Mike Ryan traveled to Kansas City, and it was friendly banter with the fans who booed Unity. He was there. He thought it was going to be a little more poisonous. In fact, he went in thinking, I'm going to teach these fans about cultural appropriation and what it is that they're doing with their tomahawk chop. And instead, he got moved and emotional, arguing with Chief fans in a friendly way, in a way that felt Man, I love sports. It doesn't have to be filled with the cruelty and the hatred of the internet. It can just be, look, these strangers, you've had a tough time over 18 months. I've had a tough time over 18 months. Here we are in the stadium. Let me heckle you a little bit.
You know what? Your team is going down. They're going down. And then they retort, no, you're going down.
Yes.
It's just, you know, it's so great. It's my team's good. No, my team's better. Probably yeah, right, but that's not going to stop me from talking. Why are you what a...
But it was totally old-timey, correct? It was friendly.
The Midwest is a very real thing. People were too kind, and I wasn't quite ready for it. It took me a couple of days to be like, there's no catch to this. Because I'm the type of person that requests a quiet Uber ride. I don't like people being kind. Someone got up from their table, followed me out of the restaurant to continue talking to me about Sarasota, Florida, when I thought the conversation had met its end. They're different over there, but it translates into sports. And now that they have the best quarterback in the league, a team that won a championship very recently, to Jess's point, this is a fan base that has nothing to prove. They know they got the goods, and I'm trying to get there like them. And there was a handshake exchange at the end of the game, a couple fist bumps, a couple, we'll see you in January. Wow. You guys are legit. I had a wonderful time there.
Love a gentleman's handshake at the end of a sporting event with an opposing fan.
The gentleman's handshake. We'll see you in January is just like, this really is a moral victory.
We'll see you in January.
Love a gentleman's handshake at the end of a game. I'm disappointed that ends. In this era of all the video that you have of fans fighting and fans throughout the pandemic taking each other down, you guys having an old-fashioned gentleman's handshake at the end. We'll see you in January. It's a little too Ted Lasso for me. I'm not there anymore.
This is the way sports was meant to be consumed. I'm from Miami. If someone so much as looks at you when their team successfully hits an extra point, you're jumping down three aisles. And that's usually against another Canes fan. It's different over there in the Midwest. I spent three quarters feeling other people out because I couldn't believe the banter I was getting away with. The fact that I was just talking and they would stay quiet, it was super emboldening. And I've never experienced that with my professional football team, Dan. So I was really enjoying holding my watch up to my ears, saying it's Chubb time. And it was all just jocular, just joshing around, just yanking cranks, just pulling chains.
This is proof that the Chiefs fans don't see you, a Browns fan, as a serious threat. They don't see the Browns in general as a serious threat.
I'm going to have to throw that one back at you, Jess, because several of them told me we'll see you in January.
Wow.
Now, they didn't say you'll beat us in January.
Right.
But they said we'll see you in January. And I get their general vibe because I would be pretty chill about stuff, too, if I had that quarterback and that team and that play calling and that talent.
They don't see anybody as a threat.
No, and that home field advantage, it's overwhelming. I don't know how the Raiders did it last year. It's puzzling to me how you beat that team in that stadium when it's at full capacity, when there is something that feels like stakes, when they are chasing a game down. I can't believe the game was as close as it was. I was rattled by being there, but it was still generally pleasant.
Even a fan base in the Midwest, full of, I'm sure, lovely people, is going to be mean if they see you as a serious threat, if an actual rivalry starts here, or, you know, if they believe that you will actually upset their chance
but
to
why
win a
would
title.
They believe? Look, man, they're in an unusual position across sports. Go ahead and give me the team that every fan listening to this is jealous of. The team you want. The team that you want across sports. Do it all the way across all. I mean, if you want to go internationally, maybe you'll find something internationally. But in American sports, the team everyone listening to this would want to be the backers of their trash talk is that one. It's not the Bucs. It's not anybody else because you know you're going to be able to do it for 10 years.
It does seem a little patronizing, though, the we'll see you in January thing. And look, we played them tight in a playoff game. We obviously played them tight here. It seems as though the Browns are making incremental improvements to hopefully take down that juggernaut. And their whole attitude is, that's cute.
Why are you laughing, Cody?
Well, because them's not exactly fighting words. We'll see you in January. You know, they're totally, they have a superiority complex in Kansas City. I mean, they Cleveland Browns. Come on.
Exactly.
Buffalo. There's nobody who's us. That's what they're thinking.
Greg's right. These are the fans that booed Unity, Dan. You think they're going to let a Browns fan go if they think he's actually someone that they see eye to eye with, or as a
what are you doing? They don't
threat?
See eye to eye with anybody. They have the best thing that you want in sports. It's not the Warriors anymore. It's not LeBron. It's not anything else. This is the thing that you want. You want that quarterback. You want those skill guys, and you want to know that it doesn't matter to be down double digits. You're the only team. It doesn't matter if you're down double digits.
Do you think we take the boo Unity thing a little too far with Kansas City? There's like 1,000 people in the stadium. If 4 of them boo, it's going to carry in that Arrowhead Stadium.
Mike.
And we just have them as a representation when they're far worse fan bases.
They weren't booing the flag.
You're just talking shit about my friends, and I don't appreciate it.
they booed guys locking arms.
Like a couple of them booed. Maybe scores even.
It was pretty loud.
Hundreds. But that's not representative. It's representative of this great land where we can overcome our differences. Color and creed,
Mike is going to be
jerseys,
so
and we can all gather together in a coliseum to root on our side, and at the end of the game, give a firm handshake, pat your fellow man or woman on the back, and say, "I'll see you in January."
Mike, they are gaslighting you.
That's just polite. That's Midwestern right. polite. They say it every week, every home game. They say it to whoever's leaving there.
Yeah.
And they just say, hey, we'll see you in right. January.
You think when the Texans come to town, it's we'll see you in January?
Not the Jets, except the Jets.
Yeah. Everybody except the Jets and maybe the Giants.
If you don't think Midwesterners can be nasty, you've never been to an AFC North football game. Wow. The Tundra. Those fans are nasty. Wait. They don't like you.
The Tundra's in the NFC North.
It's both Norths.
There's one Tundra.
There's two Tundras.
There's one Tundra. It's frozen.
There's multiple Tundras.
It's definitely not Minnesota. They play in a dome.
Vince Lombardi is spinning in his grave.
There's only one Tundra. Nobody else gets a Tundra.
You don't think a Steelers-Ravens game in negative 12-degree weather in December isn't the Tundra?
No, it could be 90 degrees in Green Bay while it's 17 degrees in Pittsburgh, and there's still one frozen tundra.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought we all agreed upon this.
I thought, in America, it's okay. I'll see you in January.
Why do you think that you're going to get to inherit a tundra just because you're a Steeler and it's cold?
She just wants in on the tundra game. There's jealousy of the Packers.
Tundra, it's a tundra.
She wants in on the Packers game.
You got the big ketchup. Enjoy the big ketchup.
I love the big ketchup.
That wind stream and down that one end where it's tough to kick field goals.
It's so cold.
So hard to kick a field goal.
That's what you have. Congratulations.
Congrats.
You don't get a tundra.
That's a good thing.
You don't get to be a tundra. It's hard to kick field goals.
I want a tundra.
No tundra for you.
You have a tundra.
You have three rivers and a choppy wind that comes off of it.
And you have Bane destroying the world, chasing down Hines Ward.
Yeah, and he had a big coat on because it was cold.
And you got a turf chewed up by the college football team beforehand. you got some things. It's just not a tundra.
What a pathetic thing to have. A wind stream that the kicker's nervous about because it's hard. It's only one end of the stadium too, right?
It's a brutal end.
You think the field is your friend?
Yes.
We were born in it, molded by it. It's the tundra here.
Not the tundra.
I sound like Sean Connery doing a Bane impression. Suck it, Trebek.
Sort of the useless sound montage. Yeah.
We've got that. Billy, how you holding up on the useless sound montage? You spent hours and hours in there, and you look a little bit broken. What can you tell us about the useless sound montage?
One down, 16 to go. No, 17. Oh, because there's 17 games with 18 weeks of the bye week. Let's calm down up there, Mike. Okay,
we do the Super Bowl extravaganza.
No.
President's Day, at least.
What are the changes? There are many, many things that are perceptible and imperceptible that have been made harder by going out on our own. We no longer have the epic orchestra of music that feels like football. So what are you following it with? What can you tell us? Just because people are going to be surprised by the useless sound montage having lost a little bit. Our parade of gas bags couldn't be as strong because we didn't have access to a lot of sound. So it was just the dumb things that the show said. How has this suffered from no longer being at ESPN?
You know, it is what it is, Dan. You know, 1 week at a time, keep things going. I have some new friends now. I mean, I hate doing this, but I have some new friends, some new coach friends that I feel like I'm going to be interested in seeing what they have to say this year. I don't feel good about it. I never feel good about it. I do it and I'm like, is this good? Is this bad? I don't know, but it's over. And that's really the victory.
Can we place wagers on who your new friends might be? Because I got really high hopes for Nick Sirianni.
Yeah. Ooh, maybe.
Okay, let's see. How about is Judge going to be in there?
Oh, man, you guys are good at this game.
Okay, let's see who the new friends are. Here it is, the useless sound montage, week one.
First off, we got the win. That's what's most meaningful is just getting the win, because you can have as many tutties and you don't get that win. You know, what's the point?
I'd like to go ahead and thank the fans for coming out. Obviously, this was an atmosphere that we've been waiting for some time. They were great today. We have to earn their cheers.
He made a heck of a football play, and he made a lot of those today.
Life is full of disappointments, and it was extremely disappointing.
That's all experience, and whether you win or whether you lose, you learn from it.
We didn't play our best when it mattered. We didn't coach our best when it mattered.
It sucks when you lose. Sucks when you get your ass kicked. You know, we'll have to identify what the issues were. We'll watch the tape, we'll correct, and we'll coach, and we'll teach. You know, and then we'll have to practice.
The West Coast to East Coast thing is an illusion. It's what you make of it.
You know, we're not worried about style points. We'll let you guys write whatever stories you want to write, man. We knew it would be tough sledding.
I hate to use a Coach Tomlinson, and they didn't blink.
We have to clean up the things that require no talent. You know, master the things that require no talent.
You said that was G. Lou? I didn't even know it was G. Lou. I was kind of, there was a big scrum, so I didn't get to see it all.
Our big goal during training camp was to become a team of teams.
This is a marathon, not a sprint, so calm down, relax, and not relax, but onward, soldier, move on.
You know, even when on my crappy days, I'm feeling bad, I'm like, man, I just got to go back in the garage, fix, you know, bring out the tools and fix myself up.
It doesn't matter where you came from, where you're drafted, how expensive your suit is or your watch is or what kind of car you drive. You got to go out and prove it on the field.
You know, I think every game has its own challenges and its own unique, you know, floor plan, if you will.
My eardrums are crazy right now. I feel like I'm on a Delta flight. It's crazy.
I felt like we got better every day this week. The goal for next week is to get better every day.
At the end of the day, it takes a week by week, day by day mentality to get there in the end.
Man, I can't say enough about the effort of our guys, their ability to collectively smile in the face of adversity.
What I like the best is that guys didn't really, once again, didn't blink. It's ingrained in our head.
Our analogy is just like a dog would when you open up the cage and he goes to hunt.
100%, Paul. I know the rules.
Yeah, listen, I fully trust me. I put a lot of work in that.
It's all about playing 60 minutes when it comes down to football.
Jake, I'd tell you, it's a 60-minute game, and you have to play a 60-minute game. You don't get anything for playing a 30-minute game.
My trainer hit me with a text this morning, and he said, you know, pressure is for the unprepared.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that goes up 50-50 balls or more like 75-25.
I mean, goodness gracious.
Sean Payne did what Sean Payne does.
It is what it is.
Defense goes out there, and they operate in whatever situation they're presented with. They don't decide when or where, they decide how.
The wind was a factor, but it was not an excuse.
One weekend is not going to write your story.
This is a team that's got grit. It's a team that's got fight. It's a team that's got resolve.
Sometimes you don't get what you think you're going
to
get.
You know, we got to go back to the drawing board a little bit.
Tossed up a lollipop.
Too little, too late.
I was like a cat. I had multiple lives tonight.
Yeah. You need it splashed in that phase of the game.
As it relates to today, it is my mother's birthday. And, you know, she would be happy, but not satisfied because we didn't play our best today. And so she would expect me to get on the plane and love the guys, but make sure we get going because we got to play better for us to be able to win. But I miss her a lot.
Wow, took a dark turn.
Yeah, Big Ben has not gotten any better at the press conference after all of these years of practice. Who was the one who had the crazy eardrums? Why did somebody, the only sound they produced for us is my eardrums are crazy right now?
I think that was Tyreek Hill. It's like a Delta flight, Dan.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.